There we go. So that was just a ghost, Regina, that appeared in the room. but I'm in the room now, and it looks like everything is working, so that's good. Happy Sunday, everyone. We do have a few less people than normal, so maybe that's because of the competition of the Super Bowl. Maybe not. Maybe they just aren't here yet. but tonight's the night that we're here for the code. And so what I'm going to do is give you all a link to the code right now. There you go. There's a link to the code. Oh, it says I'm not authorized to send URL links in this room. Did you guys not get that? Did you not get the link? It's not allowing me to post the link, believe it or not. Let me try one more time. No, you did not get. Only admins are allowed now? Oh. Well, that's new. I used to know how to log in as an admin, but I have forgotten how. So, is there an admin in the room? Hold on. Okay, I'm going to give the link to Monica, and she's going to post it for me. There you go. There's the link. And then what I will do is I will give a refresher course later on how to come into the room as an admin, so next time I'll be able to post my own links. I've given it to Monica, so hopefully. There it is. There it is. So, Monica, I guess you're on link posting duty tonight since I can't do that. But this is a link to the code. It is at reginadonacres.com. And this message was sincerely one of the most helpful messages that I received ever, and certainly in my relationship with Laurent. What had happened in my relationship with Laurent, as I think you guys know, but I like to make sure we're up to date on the story. Laurent and I, when we first came together, as you know, we had great, great difficulty. We did, in spite of our difficulty, this is the miracle about Laurent and me. In spite of our difficulty, in fact, in spite of our, what I will call apparent hate for each other, something about Laurent and I were very, very joined. And I do mean very, very joined. It's very hard to describe, how we were so joined at a very deep level, and yet at another level, you know, very much resistant to one another at the same time. And a part of what I experienced with my beloved Laurent, a part of what I experienced with Laurent was, it seems like about the strongest hate that I've experienced in this lifetime. It really went to an exaggerated state, but I'm certain that was only for the purposes of healing. But I know, you know, Jesus tells us in A Course in Miracles that when we turn a relationship over to Him or to Holy Spirit for healing, that it will be very, very tough. And in fact, He says that most people will not make it through this phase. And I have witnessed at least a few other couples going through the extreme emotion that Laurent and I went through. And the truth is, they didn't make it. So I feel like that's the miracle of our relationship, is that for some reason, we stayed together through this very, very tough phase. There were a couple of places in the early part of the relationship that were very helpful. One is a story I've already told you. That was after 3 weeks together when Laurent was leaving to take a week away in California. And the night before he left, he expressed feelings of being a failure because, again, our relationship was so tough. He expressed feelings of being a failure, and something in my heart really connected with him. And I wanted to receive something from Holy Spirit that would be very, very helpful for him, to give him as a gift, because I did not want him to see himself as a failure. I wanted to be helpful. And the next morning when I woke up, that is when the message, the power of light, came, which I was able to give to him. And then I took him to the airport, and when I came back, I received the message of the flow as a gift to me from Holy Spirit. And after that, if you're familiar with the messages that were given to Regina and Laurent, from that point on, the tone of the messages is actually different than before. So some kind of a bonding occurred, But in spite of the bonding, the hate continued to escalate at the same time. That's the amazing part. You know, I told you all earlier about the story of the butter. I don't know if you all remember that story, but it's really funny. I mean, it's just ridiculous because, you know, we were shopping, and again, one of the many, many differences between Laurent and I were the way we spent money. I had been raised to be, you know, frugal. And of course, I thought that the way I spent money was really the right way. I really thought that I was right. I was doing things a very smart way. Laurent was raised to enjoy things that are very special. You know, he really enjoyed spending money on things like, you know, special foods and special waters and, you know, things like that. And this was a big conflict in me. I would imagine it was also a conflict in him, but that is my imagination, so I'll just speak about me. It was a big conflict in me watching him spend this money when it was so against my value system. You know, to buy the most expensive bottled water when I perceived the water that came out of the tap good enough, it was just very, very difficult for me to observe. It about killed me when he would buy this very expensive bottle of water and then boil it for tea. To me, that was just the ultimate in ridiculousness. And what happened is all of these grievances and judgments about the way that he spent money added up and added up and added up until one day we were at Walmart together. And his hand reached out for some butter. I mean, I don't know how much it was. Maybe $2.50, maybe $3. I really don't know. You know, we're not talking about $1 million here. But the butter that I always bought was 97 cents. And when he reached and bought another butter that was more expensive and, in my perception, not any better, I just had this meltdown that I cannot even begin to describe. I had to walk away from Laurent and Jasmine. I didn't even say a word to them. I went to another area of Walmart and I sat on one of those, you know, they have the, like, park benches throughout the big super Walmarts. I sat on a park bench and I just sat there looking at the amount of hate that was rushing through me. I mean, it was unbelievable how much hate was rushing through me. And, you know, he and Jasmine had no idea where I went. They finished the shopping. I still did not show up. They went through the checkout line. I still did not show up. They ended up paging me, and I think I even ignored their page for a time because I was just too filled with hate to face him over butter. So the code is a message that came that actually began to turn all of that around for me. The amazing thing about the code, and Che Che is asking, let me talk, but actually I'm not going to do that, Che Che. I'm not certain who you are, but Laurent can talk. But other than that, I'm going to ask you to listen, Che Che, if you don't mind. So the code actually came on a Sunday morning. Jasmine and I would go to church. Occasionally Laurent went with us, but not usually. So Jasmine and I would go to church on Sunday mornings, and we were at church, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there in church, and I got this prompt to go outside, which, as you can imagine, was extremely unusual. So I got this prompt to go outside. It was a nice morning. It was a warm morning. And I went outside, and when I went outside, there was a prompt to go ahead and get my notebook. And I sat on a bench outside, and the message of the code came right outside the church that morning. And I got to tell you, when the message came, I was highly resistant to the message. I did write it all down. Sometimes I'm absolutely amazed at my ability to write down what Spirit was giving me in spite of my strong, strong resistance. I wrote down every word, but as soon as the message stopped, what I wanted to do was just tear it up. I wanted to tear it up and throw it away. That's how resistant I was to the code. And in fact, if you happen to look at the date, you'll notice I told you I received this on a Sunday morning. You'll notice it was not posted until Wednesday. One thing that was helpful to me, I believe it was probably Sunday night. I don't remember exactly, Laurent. I don't know if you remember. But for some reason, I didn't tear it up, even though I wanted to. I kept it in my notebook, and I think it was late Sunday night I showed it to Laurent. And Laurent and I sat on the love seat together. Yeah, it was Sunday night. Okay. Laurent and I sat on the love seat together, and we went through the message. And, you know, right now I kind of want to cry. Because it's really very sweet, if you think about it. Because, you know, we're talking about at this point in time, the person that was my greatest object of hatred was also my very important partner. You know, we were both to each other. It's really rather amazing. And we sat down together and we went through the message of the code together, line by line, in a very loving way. And we spent the next couple of days digesting the message of the code together until finally my resistance was behind me enough that I was able to post it. And what was amazing about you all when I posted it is your response. There was a humongous positive response to this message that I had almost torn up. One person even wrote and said, "We have been waiting for this message forever." an amazing positive response to a message that I could barely write down. What happened after I digested the message of the code and put aside my resistance to the message of the code is that I began to practice the message of the code. And that was the beginning of the end of my experience with hate. Not only hatred towards Laurent, but hatred towards anyone or anything in any situation. It was literally the beginning of the end of hate for me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a prayer. And then I'm going to at least begin to share this magnificent message with you. We'll see if we get through it in one night or not. But I sincerely hope that you are able to take it in like I was and use it like I was, because it's incredibly, incredibly helpful. All right, so let's say a prayer. Holy Spirit, I am amazed at your guidance, but as I said that now, what I heard back in my mind, which I will also say, was I am amazed at my own willingness. I understand the two go together hand in hand, and that I cannot really thank you for your guidance without also thanking me for my willingness. They are a partnership, and in fact, they are one. I'm not certain where the willingness came from exactly. But I am grateful for it. I am grateful that it enabled me to always do as you asked, to continually put myself aside, to continually listen to you, and to continually practice, even during these times that seemed so very hard. I am so grateful for what we call the purification process, that what I really want to do is encourage all of my brothers and sisters to find their willingness and to allow themselves to be led the way that you will lead them, so they can also face what we often call our demons, face them fully, and learn to let them go. The purification process is not fun, and this is why sometimes we seem to shy away. But what I know now from my own experience is that it is one of the most blessed experiences we will ever go through. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your guidance. Amen. All right. Woohoo! Okay, so we're going to go into the message of the code. Monica is responsible for the posting of the link tonight because I am unable to do so with my limited permissions now, but I'll see if I can do something about that in the future. So the message of the code posted on a Wednesday, even though it was received on a Sunday. This is the message that I received outside the church that morning when I was sent outside and told to grab my notebook and begin writing. The code is ideas. Now, by the way, I want to stop right there and give you guys an idea of where the code came from. Laurent and I watched a lot of films together during our time together. And in fact, most often, maybe occasionally this wasn't true, but most often the films felt perfectly guided and very helpful teachings came to us through the films. We would give the films to Holy Spirit. In fact, you may have heard an early message that we received together where Holy Spirit taught us how to watch the films, give the films to Holy Spirit, and learn from the films. And of course, one of the movies that we watched, which many of you have watched as well, is called The Matrix. And if you've seen The Matrix, then you know that the world that the majority of the people believe in is an illusion. And it is created by a computer code. It is literally created by a code. Machines kind of rule the world, and machines have created this code and created this illusion. All of the people are actually asleep, but they think they're living in this world, this code. So this is where the language, the code, comes from. It literally comes from the Matrix. All right, so let's go back to the message. The code is ideas. Just as all things within illusion are ideas. The code can be seen as specific manifestations in form, can be felt as feelings, or can be heard as thoughts. So that sentence right there is pretty important, because really what Holy Spirit is telling us is, as we experience ourselves as individual people, everything that we experience in form, like, you know, this table, this body, you know, this telephone, this microphone, everything that we experience in form is illusion created by the symbol of the code. But we're also told that our feelings, which would include, of course, this extreme hatred I was feeling at the time, our feelings actually come from the code, and our thoughts actually come from the code. So what Holy Spirit is telling me here is that all of it is illusory. All right, so the code can be seen as specific manifestations of form. Yes, Laurent is saying anything we would be aware of is code. Yes. The code can be seen as specific manifestations in form, can be felt as feelings, or can be heard as thoughts. The best way to look at the code is as the potential driver of experience. I say it is the potential driver of experience because code will only drive your experience if you fully believe the code. Even if you let go of your belief in the code partially, it no longer has full influence over you. The code can only drive your experience to the degree that you believe the code. So obviously what was happening here was I was believing the code pretty fully. Like I said, at this time, I really had a lot of grievances with Laurent. Sorry, Laurent. And thank you, Laurent. I had a lot of grievances with Laurent. You know, I had grievances around the way he spent money. I had grievances around the hours that he slept. I had grievances around the way he left things laying all over the house. I had grievances around the way he perceived me, the way he saw me. The truth is, right now, I don't think I remember all of the grievances I had against him. You know, the truth is, I think that there were so many that many of them now have just been completely forgotten. They're completely lost. But what I want you to understand, if you can put your imagination here, is I want you to understand that my mind was completely consumed with grievance thoughts about Laurent. My mind was completely consumed with grievance thoughts about Laurent. And I, at that point, was believing every one of them. You know, I was just hook, line, and sinker. Every time a thought would come into my mind about why I should hate Laurent, I believed that thought. And this is why the hate was escalating. And they were coming in rapid fire. I mean, just thought after thought after thought. And I was believing every one of them. And in fact, I seemed to have proof, right? Proof. So, Spirit is telling us that the code, which was includes these thoughts that were coming into my mind, the code is the potential driver of experience. But what's important here is the word potential. You see, the code, or these thoughts, and my experience, right? Because the form of it, right? The form of it is also the code. The things that Laurent was leaving, laying around were the code. His body sleeping late into the day was the code. You know, the way he spent money was the code, right? It's all code. It's all code. Even though to me it seemed real, it's all code. And if I fully believe all of my thoughts, all of my feelings, everything I'm seeing, experiencing, well, then my experience is going to come from that. But Holy Spirit is calling it the potential driver of experience, because Holy Spirit is saying the code will only drive my experience if I fully believe it. If I fully buy into hook, line, and sinker all of these perceptions, then I will have exactly the experience that these perceptions are driving. But if I am willing to not believe even a portion of it, you know, the Course calls this, I think, a little willingness, then it cannot have full influence over me. The code, the illusion, the perceptions cannot have full influence over me, which means there's a way out of this hate. Now, the good news for me, I laugh now when I say it because now it's funny. You know, if you could feel inside my heart how I feel for Laurent now, you would laugh, because it's just ridiculous that I could ever have hated him that much and then love him now the way I do. It doesn't even make sense. But but the good news is that I hated Laurent so much that the pain of my own hatred became unbearable for me. And that's the good news, because I was really ready to change now. It wasn't a bearable hate. It wasn't a bearable grievance. It had gone past that. It was now unbearable, which means I'm really ready for an answer. And that's, I'm certain, why the code came. So, although I was highly resistant when the message came, within a few days, I was fully ready to begin practicing this message, which means I was fully ready to recognize the experiences, the emotions, and the thoughts as illusory. And I was fully willing to start taking my belief back. All right, let's go ahead and continue reading the message. I'm at the second paragraph. The code comes from you, all of you, as you perceive yourself now, but that is you. So when he's saying you in this sentence, he's talking about all of us. He's not talking Regina. I think sometimes this is one of the mistakes we make when we start listening to these kinds of teachings, is when we hear the word you, we think me, the individual. He's not talking about me, the individual, right? He's talking about our oneness. He says, the code comes from you, all of you, as you perceive yourself now, but that is you. The code that most directly influences you in the experience as an individual is the code that most directly comes from you. But all code influences upon each other so that no true separation in code can be determined. It is really important to accept that there is no separation, and this is always true and always reflected within the code. So he's really talking about something that's a bit of a paradox, but as we awaken, we learn that truth is full of paradoxes, right? He's really talking about, as a seeming individual, right? You know, as a Regina, me, and not Laurent, you know, someone who seems separate, as a seeming individual, I have choices. And the choices I make are most definitely going to affect my perception and my experience. But at the same time, he doesn't want me to start thinking of myself as separate. He says, at the same time, the choices you make affect everyone and everything, and their choices affect you. So you're most directly affected by your choices in perception. But at the same time, your choices in perception are a part of the totality, and you cannot separate that. I'm just going to read this paragraph again and then move into the next paragraph. The code comes from you, all of you as you perceive yourself now, but that is you. The code that most directly influences you in the experience as an individual is the code that most directly comes from you, the seeming individual. But all code influences upon each other so that no true separation in code can be determined. It is really important to accept that there is no separation, and this is always true and always reflected within the code. Okay, third paragraph. The code makes illusion. As long as you experience any degree of illusion, you experience the code. And you always experience the totality of the code, although the code can be experienced differently. This is because the code is a layered code, and the layers are different vibrational levels of the same basic code. Add to that the phenomenon of an individual scripted interpretation, and the code seems to have a myriad of different angles, but it is all one code. This is very similar to the idea of the script in A Course in Miracles. It's also very similar to the idea of karma, especially as karma is taught through Inner Ramana. And what we are really being told here is that this is a pretty complicated formula. And when we sit down with our human mind and try to understand the formula, we're really going about something that's just kind of ridiculous. But there is a written script or a written karma or a written code, whatever you want to call it. And within that, there are a myriad of possibilities and a myriad of ways to perceive what is written. So, although the Course teaches that the script is written, right, this does not mean that you do not have free will. You know, people sometimes say, is it destiny or is it free will? Well, it's both. It's actually both. They work together to create the script. They work together to create the script. And what we're going to see as we go through the code is what part of it is destiny and what part of it is free will, and how free will affects destiny. So again, the code is a layered code with different vibrational levels within the same basic code. And then there's also individual scripted interpretation, which is the way we choose to perceive it. And that makes the code somewhat complicated. All right, going on to the next paragraph. Individual scripted interpretation also comes from the code. And this is pretty important, at least it was for me. Pretty important in order for me to allow hatred to die. Individual scripted interpretation also comes from the code. This facet of the code comes into the mind as your thoughts, your feelings, and your reactions. It is an interpretation of shared events, and your reaction or belief about individual interpreted code adds to the overall writing of total code and total experience. Okay. So what this is really saying is that in a particular moment, you know, when you drop a brick on your toe, for example, the thought that comes bam into your mind when you drop that brick on your toe. Oh, good night, Laurence. I love you. Okay, so the thought that comes into your mind, bam, when you drop that brick on your toe is a part of the code. Whether you think shit, or whether you panic, or whether you just say, oh, wow, I dropped a brick on my toe. That is scripted. That is already a part of the code, already a part of the script. You cannot change the thoughts that come into your mind. And at the same time, when the thought comes into your mind, you have an opportunity to choose a perception of that thought. And the perception you choose adds to the writing of the code. It's a part of the overall writing. So, for example, if you drop a brick on your toe and the thought that comes into your mind is shit, and let's say it's not only shit, it's shit, why did so-and-so leave these things laying around where they could fall on my toe? You have this automatic grievance. It comes into your mind. Boom. If you choose to fully believe that, then that is going to write the experience that's going to follow for you. But if the thought comes into your mind and you actually choose not to fully believe the thought, even though it's there, even though the pain is there, you choose not to fully believe it. You choose, for example, and this is exactly the way I did it, you choose to remember this is just code. Then your experience that's going to follow is going to be different. It's going to be written differently. So there's two things going on. One is destiny and one is free will. And they're almost so simultaneous you cannot separate them. The destiny is the thought that came into your mind. There's no way you could not have had that thought in that moment. There's no way you could not have had that thought in that moment. That was destiny. But you still have a choice in perception, a choice in belief. That is free will. And based on what you choose with your free will, your experience that follows is going to be written into the code differently. All right, so let's look at this again. Individual scripted interpretation also comes from the code, the thought that comes in. This facet of the code comes into the mind as your thoughts, your feelings, and your reactions. Whatever happened in that moment when you dropped that brick on your toe was automatic. It is an interpretation of shared events, and your reaction or belief about individual interpreted code, so how you choose to look at that thought and that automatic reaction, adds to the overall writing of the total code and the total experience. So again, if I drop a brick on my toe, the thought comes in, you know, some thought of damn shit, and then let's say it's even followed by a thought of blame for somebody leaving those bricks around, right? So this is somebody's fault for making me do this work, whatever. I have a very quick opportunity to fully believe that, not fully believe that, judge myself for having that automatic reaction, not judge myself for having that automatic reaction. These are called choices and perceptions. And my choice in perception is going to be a part of the code that follows. So yes, the automatic reaction is code. And the reason this is so helpful, okay, at least for me, maybe I'm the only person on earth that can benefit from this. But the reason this was so helpful is, again, the thoughts that were coming into my mind about Laurent were, there were a lot of them. They were very hateful. And there seemed to be a lot of proof around, a lot of proof of these thoughts. And after I learned and accepted the message of the code, what would happen is, you know, I would walk into the bedroom and I'd see Laurent's underwear laying all over the floor, and I would see drawers open, you know, with his clothes hanging out of the drawers, and the hate was boom, right there. You understand, there wasn't a damn thing I could do about that. It was so fast. As soon as my eyes landed on the scene, the hate was there. Boom. But what I learned from the code was that although I couldn't stop the automatic reaction, I could now choose my perception of my own automatic reaction. I could choose to say, that was code. And that's exactly what I did. That was code. I could choose to say, I do not want to fully believe this code, because I want to be free, really, because I wanted to be free of the hate. And if I fully believe the code, then it's going to be a complete driver of my experience, and I will never be free of the hate. So I couldn't stop the automatic reactions, but I could not judge myself for the automatic reaction. I could remember that it's just code, that I had no control over it, and I could choose not to take it so seriously. I could do that. And that was the beginning of new code, new automatic reactions. Okay, so individual scripted interpretation also comes from the code. This facet of the code comes into your mind as your thoughts, your feelings, and your reactions. It is an interpretation of shared events, and your reaction or belief about individual interpreted code adds to the overall writing of total code and total experience. With that said... So it is helpful not to object to or judge the experience of hate. Sure, why would you object to or judge something you can't control? That's really what we're saying. You can't control the fact that that thought and emotion came into your mind. Okay, so with that said, here is your only responsibility as long as you seem to be in a body within the world. You know, it's interesting because A Course in Miracles tells us that our only responsibility is to accept the atonement for ourself. You don't know how many times people have said to me, I have no idea what that means. There's something about that word atonement that is so slippery, people cannot seem to grab a hold of it and understand it. So I think we're going to hear the same teaching using different thoughts. And let's see if this is helpful to some people. With that said, here is your only responsibility as long as you seem to be in a body within a world. Your influence on the total, okay, all of us, your influence on the total comes from your interpretation of the code, which you then relive as individual interpreted code, or you choose not to relive through recognition of your creative ability. At some level, you must recognize your power to change the code, or you remain trapped within the belief and acceptance of the code as real. The only way to be released from the code as you write it is to recognize your freedom and choose to write different code. Now, how do we write different code? Spirit's going to talk about this, but we actually write different code by choosing not to believe the current code. That's it. by choosing not to believe the current code, by choosing not to judge the current code, by choosing not to take the current code so seriously, by choosing to remember it's just code, it's just illusion. That rewrites the next code. That's all you got to do. You can't, remember, you can't help it. Think about it. You dropped a brick on your foot, you had a reaction. What can you do about that? You can't do anything about that except now choose how you're going to perceive what you just thought, felt, did. And you're either going to believe it fully and go completely into that script and experience everything that script has given you to experience, or you're not. It's your only choice, is your choice in perception. And whatever you choose to perceive goes back into the great author of the world, which is all of us together, goes back into the great author of the world and writes the upcoming minutes. And you know, even with our limited human minds, it's not hard to see that if I walk into a room and I see, you know, underwear everywhere, and a thought comes into my mind telling me to hate Laurent, and I absolutely choose to hate him, that I'm going to have an experience of hate, right? Or if I walk into the room and I see underwear everywhere and a thought comes into my mind to hate Laurent, and then I choose to say, this is just code that's trying to give me an experience of hate, can you feel that I'm now going to have a different experience? The thought itself was not different. What I'm seeing in form is not different, but my experience is going to be different because of my chosen perception. That's what this is telling us. My experience is going to be different. That different experience is what Spirit is calling rewriting the code. Because instead of a hate experience, I'm going into a different experience. It's a forgiveness experience, using the language of the Course. It's a releasing experience. It's an awakening experience. So with that said, here is your only responsibility. Your only responsibility. Can I answer Adele's question? Hold on. I don't usually see questions well when I'm teaching. So let me see if I can find Adele's question. So we can choose to rewrite the script. Rewriting the script is choosing your perception. That's what I was just talking about. You know, you don't choose to rewrite the script like by changing Laurent. You don't say, okay, I'm going to choose with the power of my mind to change Laurent so that he starts putting his underwear away. That's not what we mean by rewrite the script. We're talking about your individual responsibility, your individual experience. We're talking about you. If you fully believe the thoughts and the experience, you're going to go right into whatever it's trying to give you, whether it's an experience of hate, an experience of fear, an experience of guilt. You're going to go all the way into it. Right. The brick's already dropped. The brick has already dropped. You've already walked into the bedroom and there's underwear everywhere. That's past. It's already past. You're not going to go back and change the past. That's impossible. It may have happened a split second ago, but it's still past. You're not changing the past when we rewrite the script. You're changing the reaction, the direction you're going. Are you changing the next brick? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. We're talking about changing your experience. You can have a really awful experience when you drop a brick on your toe, or you can not have a really awful experience when you drop a brick on your toe. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about changing your experience. And yes, anyone who has done this knows that as you change your experience, also a lot of things in form change too, but that's not what we're trying to control here. And we can't control it. If you think about this for half a moment, you can't control it because you're not an individual writing the world. We write the world as a totality. You're only one of billions of authors if we look at it from our point of view. So you affect what is being written, but you cannot control what is being written. All right? Let's see. How do we not fall into denial about our feelings? Just trust my perception is wrong. I'll answer this question, then I'm going to go back, because I feel like if I answer too many questions, I'll start to move away from the code, and I want to stick with it. But I will tell you how I did not fall into denial. I literally had a practice where I would say consciously in my mind, I see that thought. You know, I would see the thought, for example, to really hate Laurent. And I would say, I see that thought. I feel this emotion. But this is just code, right? And then I'm not denying it. Okay, so let me go back to the message then. Again, with that said, here is your only responsibility as long as you seem to be in a body within a world. Your influence on the total comes from your interpretation of the code, which you then relive as individual interpreted code, or you choose not to relive through recognition of your creative ability. At some level, you must recognize your power to change the code. And again, this is by choosing your perception. Or you remain trapped within the belief and acceptance of the code as real. You believe every single thought that comes into your mind and you don't question any of them. You believe every single experience you have and you don't question any of them. That's how you remain trapped. The only way to be released from the code as you write it is to recognize your freedom and choose to write different code. Again, you have the freedom to choose your perception. In its most basic element, individual interpreted code comes into the mind as a thought, feeling, or reaction to the overall illusory code. It is part of the total, but it is a part that makes the total. So it is as significant as the overall code. So what he's saying, he's telling us now how we are creator and how we write the code. And he's really telling us, again, it's all of us together. You know, if all of us together witness an event, we all have coded reactions that come into our minds. And if we fully believe those coded reactions, we're going to continue to write that event in a certain way. If it's a fearful event, we're just going to continue to write fear, write fear, write fear, for example. But if we're all pretty dang enlightened, okay, we're all pretty dang enlightened, and a, quote, fearful event happens, and we all choose to look at it. We have 6 billion eyes watching it on TV, right? And we all choose to look at it, and we all choose to remember this is only code. This is not real, and we don't go into fear. The actual events, as they could have played out, will play out differently because we are all joined in that new perception. This is what Jesus meant when he said, with just a little bit of faith, you could move mountains. The thing that's key here is in order to move the mountains, we really need at least a majority, right? We really need a lot of us choosing not to believe the code. So if there's only a couple of people not believing the code, it may change a little, but it might not change significantly. However, the ones that are not believing the code are still going to have a different experience and understanding of what's happening. So an individual in a mass situation does not necessarily change the code. However, an individual in a smaller situation many times has changed the code. You know, we have many stories of Peace Pilgrim. We have stories of Jesus. I've had my own experiences where there's a smaller amount of what we'll call witnesses, right? And when I or Jesus or Peace Pilgrim or someone else like that chooses a specific perception, the entire event begins to unfold differently. You know, like Peace Pilgrim has that one amazing story about, when this man showed up and was going to beat this little girl, right? And she went out there and she chose to look at the man and she didn't say anything, but she chose to just love him, to realize his truth for him. And he chose to drop his planned attack and to walk away. And then she says, after she tells that story, she says, what do you think would have happened if I had gone out with the tooth and claw, you know, laws of the jungle? What if I'd gone out there fearful, fighting him? Why, he would have beat me up too, right? So she's acknowledging that because she chose a perception of an event, that the code in that little event changed. So this is why I say the form of the event will sometimes change and the form of the event will sometimes not change. Because it's not an individual writing the event. It's a shared event. But the experience of the individual that's choosing a more enlightened perception will always change. It has to. And our perception is not at all victim to the code. Our perception is not at all victim to what seems to be happening in form. So even if what happens in form continues, our experience, our perception, our way of being with that event can change. And again, it may change the event itself. So your influence on the total, your influence, see, you have an influence on the total. Your influence on the total comes from your interpretation of the code. Imagine that when you're watching the news. When you're watching the news, what are you thinking, feeling, believing? Can you begin to look at that differently? I mean, sure, the thought may come into your mind, how could he do that? But then, can you, as soon as that automatic reaction comes into your mind, how could he do that while you're watching the news? Can you look at that differently? Wait a minute, this is just code. Wait a minute, I'm just falling for code. Can you begin to change your perception? Your influence on the total comes from your interpretation of the code, which you then relive, right? You're going to believe it fully as individual interpreted code, or you choose not to relive it by choosing your perception, right? Through recognizing your creative ability, your influence, your part in the total. At some level, you must recognize your power to change the code, or you remain trapped within the belief and acceptance of the code as real. The only way to be released from the code as you write it is to recognize your freedom and choose to write different code. That again is choosing a different perception. In its most basic element, individual interpreted code comes into the mind, here's how you receive it, as a thought, feeling, or reaction to the overall illusory code. It is a part of the total, but it is a part that makes the total, so it is as significant as the overall code. In other words, it really does matter to everyone whether you believe the thoughts that come into your mind or not. It really does matter to everyone whether you fully believe the feelings that you are feeling. It really does matter to everyone whether you fully believe what's happening in form. Next paragraph. You are to be aware of your individual interpreted code, and you are to measure that code against the idea of your true desire. When the code is aligned with the idea, you re-accept that code into the mind. This feeds into the total code. It affects the overall, and it affects your evolving individual interpretation. Okay, not all code is ego code. Some code is what we would call Holy Spirit or right-minded code. And in fact, the more you practice not believing your perceptions, actually the more you're going to begin to receive what we call Holy Spirit or right-minded code. Which means you'll drop a brick on your foot, and now, because you have been practicing this, right, now a different code comes into your mind. Boom, it's okay. It's okay. I know this for a fact because it happened to me. I didn't drop a brick on my toe. I stubbed the hell out of my toe about a month ago. And what was so funny, and this is a true story, it's hilarious. What was so funny is my toe, it hurt so bad. And I looked right at my toe and I said, it's okay. It's okay. You're okay. It's okay. It's okay. And that toe was fine. What I didn't know, and this is the funny part of the story, is that I had stubbed two toes. And the next morning when I took off my sock, I noticed that the toe I had spoken to, the little toe, was fine, but the toe next to it was black or blue, black and blue. And I just started laughing because I hadn't told that toe that it was okay. And so I told it that it was okay. It's okay. And actually, by the next day, it was okay. The black and blue had completely disappeared. But the point is that the code that came into my mind, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, was a different code than would have come into my mind 3 years ago. It's a completely different code. And the reason a different code is coming into my mind, and this is happening to me all of the time now, I'm absolutely amazed at the code that comes into my mind now because it's so different than the code I would have received at an earlier time. But the reason different code is coming into my mind automatically is because I've been practicing my choice perception of whatever did come in, right? And I've been, as we're going to learn, raising in vibration. And as you raise in vibration, you actually receive a different level of code. So in other words, with time, as we perceive it, the automatic thoughts that come into your mind, the automatic reactions change. But they change because of the way you choose to perceive what's happening now. So let's say you're at a lower level ego place now. That's just where you're at. And every time something happens, you swear and blame. You swear and blame. Well, that's pretty much a loop you're caught in. So when something happens, you're going to swear and blame. But if you can immediately recognize that as code, choose not to judge yourself, and choose not to fully believe it. And if you do that every time it comes into your mind, the swear and blame, the swear and blame, just look at it, don't judge yourself, remember its code, choose not to fully believe it, you're actually going to start rising in vibration. And with time, swear and blame will no longer be what comes into your mind. You will start to receive a Holy Spirit code or a right-minded code instead. And of course, when that begins to happen, that's code you do want to accept. So when the thought comes into the mind automatically, all is well. Even though, you know, you just looked and you noticed that the stock market crashed. But the thought comes into the mind, all is well. That's when you do want to believe and accept the code. So really, this teaching is no different than discernment, except it's a little more technical. But it's telling us that when an ego thought comes into the mind as a part of the code, not to judge ourselves for the ego thought, but choose not to fully believe it. Choose not to take it so seriously. Remember, it's an illusory code. Remember, you couldn't do anything about it. That thought just is what it is, but don't buy into it completely. Buy into it as little as you possibly can. But as you begin to rise in vibration and spirit code begins to come into your mind, be grateful. Accept that. Follow that thought. Yes, agree, all is well. Okay? So you are to be aware, this is discernment, you are to be aware of your individual interpreted code, and you are to measure that code against the idea of your true desire. He's teaching discernment. When the code is aligned with the idea of true desire, which is, of course, the idea to awaken, to be only love, to know our truth, when the code is aligned with the idea of your true desire, re-accept that code into that mind. Yes, all is well. I accept that code. You re-accept it. You see it, and you re-accept it. And this feeds into the total code. You're helpful to everyone. It affects the overall, and it also affects your evolving individual interpretation. You continue to rise in vibration more, and you are going to experience more and more right-minded or Holy Spirit code as natural reactions. The thing about the code is that we have to start where we are. We can't change where we are. I'll say that again. The thing about the code is that we have to start where we are. We cannot change where we are. Remember, whatever is coming into your mind, whatever automatic reactions, feelings, thoughts you're having now, those are the automatic reactions, feelings, thoughts you're having now. You cannot change that, but you can choose how to perceive it. You can choose to believe it fully or not. You can choose to judge yourself for it or not. And if you're at that lower level vibration, that ego vibration, those ego reactions are coming into your mind, the or not, choosing not to believe it completely is what's going to result in new experiences and you beginning to rise in vibration so that you'll begin to hear a different code, what we call Holy Spirit. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop here. And what we'll do is we'll just continue this message next week. I have a recommendation, and of course it's completely up to you whether you accept this recommendation or not. But I will tell you that this message was so helpful to me because I practiced it. And because I practiced it as consistently as I could. I had hate thought after hate thought after hate thought coming into my mind, rapid fire, so I know you can do it under rapid fire. And I would look at those hate thoughts and say, this is only code. And as soon as I said this is only code, I was not believing it fully, right? And within weeks, the rate of those hate thoughts began to slow amazingly. My entire experience began to change. So my recommendation is you go ahead and spend this week with the few paragraphs that we've gone over and start practicing this in your life with whatever's coming into your mind. Remember, we are talking about non-judgment of your automatic reactions. And we're choosing not to believe your thoughts, your emotions, your experiences fully. Remember, it's just code. And remember that you can't change the past. You can't change what happened a second ago. Don't judge it. What you can choose is your perception of it. Okay? So I'm out of here, and we'll continue this next Sunday night. All right? Thanks for skipping the Super Bowl, or at least part of the Super Bowl, to come and hear the code. Because really, you know what? It matters for everyone based on what we're learning, even those who are watching the Super Bowl. We're helping them by learning this and practicing it. Bye.